Legend has it that composer Terry Riley was sitting on a bus when the idea struck him for one of the most important pieces of music of the 20th century. It's called In C. It premiered in 1964, and it launched the minimalist movement. The work influenced such musicians as Philip Glass and Steve Reich. It also influenced someone closer to home, Terry Riley's son, Gian. Reporter Jacob Gann spoke with Riley and his son at an anniversary celebration of In C at Carnegie Hall.
Composer Oswaldo Gullyhoff has won his share of laurels, including Grammy Awards and a MacArthur Genius Grant, and here's what he has to say about Terry Riley's most famous work.
The greatness of In C is like the greatness of The Rite of Spring, the greatness of Demoiselles d'Avignon by Picasso. You know, these are the first pieces. These are number one in history and then constantly imitated. How can somebody be so radical and in one masterstroke include the future?
What In C isn't really is a score. It's a single page of melodic phrases or themes or modules. Anyway, each performer plays the same 53 phrases, but there's no... Well, maybe I should just let Terry Riley himself explain.
In C is made up of 53 modules, and we progress from 1 to 53 as we're playing, and each player has to decide when he enters into the stream of the music and when he comes out.
31.
So the more people you have, of course, the more complex web you're going to build up.
43.
At Carnegie Hall, the number of people performing In C topped 60, so complex only begins to describe things. At the rehearsal, the music sometimes sounded eerie, like a distant echo, and sometimes swelled into a pulsing cacophony.
You know, if you're watching birds on a lake and they suddenly take flight, and as they move through the air, they create different patterns. In C is very much a sonic image of that.
The interesting thing about playing In C for me is that playing in it and listening to it as an audience member aren't really that different.
During the rehearsal for In C, Gian Riley sat with his guitar directly in front of his father's keyboard and behind Kronos Quartet, with a table of homemade instruments and a gajung player to his left and a didgeridoo trio to his right.
There's so much spontaneity and there's so much complexity that it's so much more important to just listen to all the other sounds happening around you and to just kind of be a part of it.
Oswaldo Gullyhoff was part of the In C ensemble at Carnegie Hall, where the original recording of the piece runs about 40 minutes and was met with some befuddlement by the establishment. The 45th anniversary performance ran closer to 2 hours and received a standing ovation that lasted over 5 minutes. That acceptance, Gullyhoff says, suggests that time has finally caught up with the ideas that Terry Riley was exploring back in 1964.
In C is a radical experiment, but it's also so embracing and so joyous. It symbolizes what the spirit of California was at the time and how it reverberates up to today and across the world.
Gian Riley has been listening to In C and other pieces by his father for his entire life. He's been playing in Terry Riley's ensembles as well as composing his own music, mostly on the classical guitar, for the past decade.
Just having that in my ears from a small child, I think, is probably the biggest influence because that's the time when you're not even quite aware of the fact that something's influencing you.
What becomes clear in talking with the Rileys is that they both thrive in the kind of environment where unexpected developments are allowed to blossom into major themes. And that's the case whether they're on stage with 60 other musicians or just the two of them.
What I see with our duo work is this kind of intuitive collaboration where nobody quite knows what's going to happen in the next moment.
Even in those moments when they're forced to wing it entirely, which happened when the duo walked out on stage one night for what was supposed to be a very traditional through-composed piece.
What happened is that he forgot the music backstage for that piece. So we got on stage and he kind of motions to me, you know, looks like I don't have my sheet music. And then he starts playing something I'd never heard before. I thought, oh, this is going to be really interesting. And it was. Those are usually the best things, and sometimes they're accidents.
it's a psychic link or shared musical DNA, or just the product of years of playing with and listening to each other, it's a relationship on stage that echoes the one off.
We have complete trust in each other as far as what we're going to do musically. You know that the other person's going to be there wherever you go.
For NPR News, I'm Jacob Gans.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.